Well, good morning. If you would stand with us, we're going to celebrate Jesus together. Come on. With a broken heart, you pick me up now, set apart. From the ash I'm born again, forever saved in the Savior's hands. You do more than my words could say. Follow you, Lord, for all my days. Fix my eyes following your ways. Forever free and unending grace. 'Cause you are, you are, you are my freedom. We live to higher, live to higher. Your love, your love, your love, never ending, Lord. Love be the shining light, breaking chains that were holding me. You sent your son down and set me free. Everything of this world will fade. I'm pressing on till I see your face. And I will live that your will be done. Oh, and I won't stop till your kingdom comes. 'Cause you are, you are, you are my freedom. Excited to worship together this morning. Excited to come and lift high the name of Jesus. The name that is above every other name. The name that every knee shall bow and declare his praise. Amen. And that's what we want to do this morning. Before all creation has to, we want to come and lift his name willingly. We want to come and lay down our lives before him willingly. Out of grateful hearts because of all that he has done. He's the Lord of all creation who gave his own life so that we might have forgiveness and life eternal with him. And thankfully, he didn't stay dead, but he is the risen and reigning King over all who is at the right hand of God the Father interceding for us. He loves you. He gave himself for you. And this morning, we are here to praise his name together. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And in doing that, we'd like to do a new song this morning. You guys up for a new song?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. One more time. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to do a song called Oh, Praise the Name. It's new for us, at least. It's actually a few years old. But this song is basically the story of Easter. It's remembering what Christ went through on the cross, remembering that he is raised from the dead, and remembering that he is coming again as the reigning king over all. And we are going to celebrate him. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. We want to teach you that chorus real quick. Brother, can you bring that up for us, the chorus of this song? And Jen's going to teach it to you guys. Sing that together one more time. Come on. Oh, praise the name.
Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord our God.
Amen. Let's worship together.
Cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet. My Savior on that cursed tree. His body bowed and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord, our God.
every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes and wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. And that's our hope this morning, that you would build your life upon the love of Jesus Christ, because it will never be shaken, and it will always guide you in the path that you should go. And we are here to worship him, to praise him, like we said earlier. Amen. We are here to build our lives upon him, upon his word, upon his love and his grace towards us. But we are here to do that as a family of faith, not just as individuals, but as a body that's come together to encourage one another, to push one another forward in our faith. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And that's what we want to do this morning. We want to give you a small taste of that, a small opportunity right now to build one another up. So if you would, take just a minute. I want you to turn to those right there around you and speak words of life and encouragement.
Good morning, church. There you go. We're here this morning. Good to see you this morning. We're so thankful that you're here at Ridgecrest to worship our one and only Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thankful for that time as we've already worshiped together through song, and looking forward to continuing to worship together as we study his word and just continue to focus our lives on him. There's two special groups in the room today that I want to, well, one in the room, one not in the room, that I want to welcome this morning. First is this: if you're a guest of ours today at Ridgecrest, maybe today's the first time you've been to Ridgecrest, first time you've been here in a long time, I want to say a special welcome to you. You'll notice you received a worship folder on your way in, and in the very back of that worship folder, there's something called our guest card. If you're a guest today, we would love for you to take that guest card and fill it out, and you can drop in the offering basket in just a moment, but we'd rather you take the guest card to our welcome center, which are out this door right here to your left, or these doors and to your right, and we have a gift bag there for you, a little blue gift bag with different things inside of it, but more importantly, it gives you information of what God's doing here in our church. And as guests, we want to encourage you to come by there to meet a staff, meet a volunteer, so that we can give you these details so that you and your family can connect and be a part of what God is doing here at Ridgecrest. So please do that. You can also, you see there's a text number on your back of your worship folder. You can text that number and get more information about what God is doing here at our church as well. Also, this morning, I want to say a special welcome to those that are joining us via live stream through our internet and our online. Such a special opportunity our church has to go into really all over the country, all over the world, in a lot of ways, to reach those people. So we want to say a special welcome to you guys. And also, if you want more information about our church, go to our website, rbcdothan.org, and find all the information there. And again, thank you for worshiping with us this morning. Also, a couple announcements in your worship folder this morning so that you can be a part of what God is doing in our church. The first is this. You see an insert that looks like this. Take that out. Look at it for just a moment. This is our special Easter schedule. You'll see starting next Sunday afternoon with our choir and orchestra, and then leading up and through the week before Easter and Good Friday, a lot of things happening. Make sure you take note of these things, because we want you and your family during this special week of just the church calendar to worship with us as we celebrate what God's done for us, and that's by sending his son to die on a cross, but then to be raised again on that day, and that's Easter Sunday where we get to worship and celebrate that great Sunday. So make sure you take note of these things that are happening. And then also, this coming Saturday, March 24th, this coming Saturday is our Serve God First Day. You know, we've been talking in 2018 about this theme of God first, putting him first in all that we do. This coming Saturday, you have the opportunity to do that by going into our community to serve different people in different areas. And I want to encourage you this Saturday, the 24th of March, from 8 to 1 o'clock, make plans to be a part of that, to serve our community. You can sign up in the Welcome Center, you can sign up online, or you can just come see me or another staff member. We can give you more details about that. So mark mark your calendars this Saturday to be here as our church goes into our community to show our community that we're putting God first as we go throughout this new year. So that's all we have for announcements this morning. Look through your worship folder, see the other things happening, make note of those things so that you can be a part of it. This time we're going to continue in worship by giving. So if you'll pray with me, we'll give our tithes and offerings. Father, thank you for this morning. God, what a blessing it is to be together, to come together as your body, to encourage one another, not to have to go through life alone, to be able to push each other as we think about following you and focusing our lives on you. God, thank you for giving us hope. Thank you for the hope that we have in your son, Jesus. And I pray as we continue to walk through this year that we would put you first in all that we do. As we read and study your word this morning, God, I pray that you anoint our pastor as we continue to think of these stories of Jesus and the parables that he has laid, you have laid before us through the New Testament. God, I ask that you would speak through those words this morning and then strengthen us to be obedient to what you're leading us to do. Father, I pray for this offering now that you would continue to just multiply it, continue to use it so that you can use our church to make the name of Jesus known among the nations. And so God, we pray this morning that you will continue to be glorified in all that happens, and in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Take your Bibles and open up to Matthew chapter 17. We're going to continue, as you see from the introduction there, talking about the stories of Jesus and a passage that some consider a parable. Others debate whether it's a parable or not, but one thing we know, it is a metaphor. Part of this story is a metaphor for some very important and significant spiritual truth that will change your life. And today what I want to talk to you about is faith's power. That's what I've entitled the message, Faith's Power. Power of faith, any way you want to say it. But I want to talk to you about, faith is like the air for a Christian. We exist by our faith in a dynamic relationship with the Lord. But a lot of people today in our world use the word faith as a noun. You understand what I mean by that? They use it as a noun to kind of describe a system, a religious system. The Bible doesn't use faith that way. We do, but the Bible doesn't use it that way. When the Bible speaks of faith, it speaks of faith as a verb. It's something we express, something that that we do. And so that's why it's important to understand this passage that Jesus is talking about today, because it's all about faith and how to make your faith more effective and how to experience the power of faith that is promised to us in Christ. Charles Spurgeon, great preacher, said this. Listen, he said, I would recommend you either believe God to the hilt or else not believe at all. Believe the word of God, every letter of it, or else reject it. He said, there's no logical standing, there's no logical ground between either receiving it, you believe it all, or you reject it in terms of your faith. There's no logical standing between the two, he said. Be satisfied with nothing less, listen to this, than a faith that swims in the deeps of divine revelation. A faith that paddles about the edge of the water, he says, is nothing but poor faith at its best. He said it's it's not much better than a faith that stays on dry land. What he means by that is He said, real faith, a genuine biblical faith, is a faith that trusts God for the things that we don't understand, the deep water, that just gets out and says, God, I'll trust you for the things that I don't understand. The faith that he says is paddles around the edge is poor faith. And he said, it's a lot like faith that's on land. It is, as long as I can see what I'm standing on, I will believe. But he says, we need the faith that enables us to live out there in the deep. And that's what I want to talk with you about. This text this morning will help us, I think, understand that. If you're physically able to do so, why don't you stand with me as we read the text, beginning in verse 14 of chapter 17 of Matthew. This is what it says. And when they came to the crowd, the disciples and Jesus, that is, there was a man came up to him, that is Jesus, and kneeling before him said, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's an epileptic and he suffers terribly. For often he falls into the fire and often into the water, and I brought him to your disciples, and they could not heal him. And Jesus answered, O faithless and twisted generation, how long am I going to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demons, and it came out of him, and the boy was healed instantly. And then the disciples came to Jesus privately, and they said, Why could we not cast it out? And he said to them, Because of your little faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Lord, thank you for the richness of your word. We pray this morning, God, that you would cause our hearts and minds to receive it and transform us with it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks. Now, this is a continuation of the series, and again, as I said there, we're going to focus on one verse today. I'm going to give you three truths. They're going to come all out of verse 20, but you need to understand the whole story to understand why verse 20 is, why Jesus makes the comments he does in verse 20. Some have debated, as I said, whether or not this is a parable or not. I'll let you decide what you think about that, because I don't think it really matters whether you think it is or you don't think it is, or what the scholars say about that. I think the key is that it is a metaphor, and it is a metaphor about faith's power. And just like the parables, we know for sure this passage deals with some things that are essential spiritual truths to a vital kind of faith. And that's because faith is an essential ingredient that has to be operating in your life if you're going to experience God's work in your life and God's work through your life. And faith is also kind of like an anchor. Because it sustains us when we face the ups and downs of life. It's been a long time since I've been there, a bunch of years now, but maybe some of you have been to Niagara Falls before. If you have, to me, it's one of the most awesome sights I've ever seen. And you know, you have two sides of Niagara Falls. You have the Canadian side and you have the American side, and both of them are awe-inspiring if you've been to either one of them or both of them. But on the American side, the falls descend about 180 feet, close to 200 feet from the top down. And before the falls, of course, there's a period of pretty aggressive rapids. They're pretty strong at a certain point as it starts getting closer to the falls. Well, but if you go up even beyond the rapids, and you can, up a ways up the river, It's navigable by boats, and people are in there fishing and all that sort of stuff. But there's a place across the river where there's a bridge. And on the bridge, I guess it's still there, it used to be there, there's a sign that is posted, and it says this, before the rapids start, where the boats still are, it says, do you have an anchor? Do you know how to use it? Because that's very important, because if not, you're going to get caught up in the current, and once you're caught up in the current, it's going to be hard to go back. Well, faith is kind of like the anchor for the believer, and if we're going to be stable and not shipwreck ourselves, we're going to have to know how to deploy our faith in the ups and the downs of life. The power of faith, or I might add, the lack of faith, is a consistent part of the message of Christ to his followers in the New Testament. He's always talking to us about faith and how, and demonstrated it, but also how to deploy it for our own lives. And so with that in mind, I want to show you three things this morning. The first, again, all of these are out of verse 20. The first is this. I want you to see the personal expression of faith. The personal expression of faith. Verse 20, I want you to note something. If you have something to write with and you write in your Bible, you ought to underline the words when he says to them in verse, because of your little faith. You ought to underline or circle the word your, because what it does is it points to something, and that is Jesus was addressing their personal faith, their personal expression or lack thereof of faith. Now, did you get the story of what's going on? A man comes to Jesus and he says, you know what, my son is he's an epileptic. In this case, it was a demon-related kind of thing. And he says, it throws him in the water, it throws him in the fire. And he said, we've tried everything and nothing has helped. And we brought him to your disciples, assuming that they could help him, but they couldn't. Now, here's what's interesting about that. If you remember your New Testament and you remember the calling of the disciples, then you will also remember that when Jesus called the disciples, he then turned around and authorized them to go out and heal in his name, cast out demons in his name, do all kinds of miracles in his name. Y'all remember that? That he had given them that authorization to do that. So here they come, and evidently they had done some of that, because they had enough reputation where this man would bring his son to them and hope that they could, you know, do the same for him. But they couldn't. And so consequently, he ends up at Jesus saying, your disciples couldn't do this. And so Jesus casts the demon out. The son is immediately healed. And then sometime later on, we see the disciples doing something we've seen in the parables already, and that is pulling Jesus aside, saying, hey, Jesus, you remember in the two previous parables? He said, Jesus, explain that to us. Well, the same thing happens here, and they say, Jesus, why couldn't we do it? And they're probably thinking, you'd authorized us to do this sort of thing, so why couldn't we do this? And Jesus' answer to the disciples is because of the your little faith. Now, that's an interesting statement, because most of the time when you hear people talk about this verse or this passage, they talk about little faith in, as it relates to the size of faith. And I want to tell you something this morning. The Greek idea there is not about the size of faith. I'll talk about some of that later on, but it's not about the size of faith. You know what it's about? It's about the quality of faith. When he says your little faith, he's talking not about the size of their faith, he's talking about the quality of their faith. It was poor quality, that's what it meant. Their faith had a weakness to it, a poor kind of quality. It wasn't that they had no faith, it was the quality of their faith was very poor. And that's how Jesus responds to them. Now, for each of us, we have to understand that we live kind of there too a lot of times, don't we? That the quality of our faith is very weak. Now, for some of you, you may have only a head kind of faith, and I'll talk about that in just a second. But if you're a follower of Christ, oftentimes we miss out on the work of God because the quality of our faith is so poor. And each of us are responsible to express our faith. This is personal. The personal expression of faith. It's a personal in nature. Jesus addresses them as individuals. And here's what you have to remember, and I have to remember, is that when it comes to the expression of our faith, it is very personal, and God expects you to express it on a personal level. Now, the fact is, I can't express faith for you. I would if I could, but you can't express it for me either. And it's a very personal expression. I'm not talking about when, have you ever said something to someone about Christ and they say, well, I think that's personal. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the personal expression that you and I each have the responsibility to share. Now, the Bible talks about several kinds of faith. One kind is what we see here, little faith. Again, it's mentioned here, but it's not talking about the size, like big faith, little, medium faith, little faith. That's not what it's talking about, but the Bible uses this idea. In several places, Jesus talked about this, Matthew 13:58, and it said he couldn't do many great works in his hometown because of their little faith or their unbelief. In Matthew 8, it talks about the storm, and Jesus finally comes to his followers and he says, oh, you of little faith. In Matthew 16:14, after the resurrection, Jesus appears to the disciples and it says he rebukes them because of their little faith, the quality of their faith. They didn't believe the things that he had told them enough to adjust their life to it, okay? That's what we mean by little faith. But there's another kind of faith the Bible talks about. It's simple faith. And this isn't a bad kind of faith. Simple faith is just an affirming and acceptance. For example, Jesus said to the religious people of his day in John chapter 5 and verse 4, he said, "If you will not believe the writings of Moses, you will not believe the things that I say." And what his point was to them is that you have to decide to accept. If you want to accept what God has already given, you're certainly not going to accept what I say to you. It was about believing, simply believing and trusting what God says, the Word of God. And by the way, you don't have to have a PhD, you don't have to have a THD, you don't have to have a seminary degree, you don't have to have graduated from a Bible college in order to trust the Word of God. It is a choice to believe it. You choose, say, "Lord, I accept it." It's a simple faith. I just accept it. We've heard a lot about the passing of Billy Graham, one of my heroes, and so many of us in ministry would say that. But the turning point, do you know the turning point for his ministry that he said is articulated came in 1949, a place called Forest Home out in California. He was on a retreat there and he was struggling with the veracity and the validity of the scripture. And he went out into the woods, took a walk one evening into the woods with his Bible. And he laid it down on a stump and he got down in the woods and over his Bible and said, "Lord, I don't understand everything that's in this book." And he had a friend that was questioning the Bible and whether it was legit and all this sort of stuff. And he said, "Lord, but I don't think I can do what I do if I don't believe this book. And so, Lord, I've got to make a choice. And I choose to believe that this is your word." Do you know it was from that moment he was catapulted, his ministry took off from that particular point in time. Well, that was a simple act of faith. He said, "I acknowledge it. I will accept it, and I will believe it." Now, you know, one of the things that I've taught you and told you for years is that God's always speaking. He's always speaking through his word. That's why you need to stay in your Bible so you can hear from God. Amen. All right? And if you don't stay in your Bible, you're not going to hear from God. That's just the way it is. And his voice, you know what his voice sounds like? It sounds a whole lot like Scripture. And so you stay in his word. I'll come to that a little bit later on. But simple faith is about taking God at his word, all right? A third kind of faith the Bible talks about is great faith. There is great faith, okay? Now, great faith is not the size of faith, again. It is the quality of the faith, a great kind of faith. And that Jesus talked about that in Matthew 8, where a centurion came to him, came to him about his child and said to him, he said, "Master, if you'll just speak the word, he'll be healed." And Jesus said, "Okay, well, show me and let's go to your child." And the guy said, "No, you don't have to go to my child. All you got to do is speak the word. And if you speak the word, it will happen." And Jesus' response was to the crowd around him, "I have not seen such great faith anywhere in Israel as this man has demonstrated." It's great faith. It's a quality of faith that says, "God, I have this capacity to believe in whatever you want to do and however you want to do it." Now, the Bible also speaks of having the gift of faith, that it is a spiritual gift. There are some people, maybe you know some of them, that just have this incredible capacity to trust God. They just believe God. They believe him for big things. They just can trust him. The Bible says that there is a gift of faith, and some people have that gift of faith, and God often does incredible things through them because they believe him for incredible things, all right? But not all of us have that, but you can grow a great faith, all right? You can grow a great faith, and I'll tell you how you do that here in just a little bit, but the Bible speaks about a great faith. And then fourth, the Bible speaks about a saving faith. Now, this is very important. If you're here today, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you need to express believing faith, saving faith. You know what saving faith is? It moves from here. I'll talk about that in just a minute. It moves from here. It is a faith that is expressed from here. And it is specifically related to surrendering our soul, surrendering our life to Jesus Christ. It's a saving faith and it's transforming. And the Bible has a great deal to say about saving faith. Like, for example, in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The Bible says in John 1, but to all who received him and believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That's saving faith. And it's, and again, if you're here and you've never trusted God with your soul, with your eternity, today is the day you need to do that. You don't need to leave here without saying, Jesus, I want you to be my Savior. Not just, I want to be aware of who you are. I want you to be my Savior. That's saving faith. But there's one more kind of faith that the Bible speaks of, and it is useless faith. Useless faith. You know what useless faith is? It is a faith that has an intellectual belief, but it has no value whatsoever. It doesn't adjust a life. It doesn't change a life. It doesn't. And by the way, it knows the truth. It's just not transformed by it. It's useless. Is that spoken of in the Bible? Absolutely. In James chapter 2, it says this, you believe that God is one, you do well. But even the demons believe and shudder. Now, we all know that the demons don't have a transformed, they're not transformed into a relationship with Christ. They're the enemies of God. But he says right there that they believe, they have the intellectual capacity to believe, but they don't have the personal relationship that results. And so there's a useless kind of belief. That's a useless kind of belief. There are a lot of people in our world today who have a belief that is completely useless to them. So here's the bottom line. The kind of faith that you personally express makes a difference in what God can do in your life. Does that make sense? Okay. So Jesus calls attention to the personal nature and the personal expression of your faith. Only you can express it, and you're going to express one of those five kinds of faith that I talked about. All right. Only you can express it. That's personal. That's why Jesus addressed the disciples and said, your faith. Your faith. Then the second thing I want you to see this morning is not only the personal expression of faith, but I want you to see the promised experience of faith. Again, I refer you to verse 20. He said, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say, and here's what I want you to focus on in this point, and that is the phrase, you will say to the mountain. You'll say that mountain. All right, because here's what I want you to get. This is Jesus saying that if you will believe, I promise you, you will experience something. All right? If you'll believe, if you will trust me, and by the way, what is he talking about? You'll trust me in the things that I've authorized. I'll come to that in just a bit. But if we believe, then we are in a position to experience what God promises. And the order is important here, because there were some who told Jesus, essentially, unless I can see, I won't believe. You remember Thomas after the resurrection? Y'all remember Thomas, the disciple? We all know him as who? Somebody tell me. Doubting Thomas. And we call him Doubting Thomas because after the resurrection, the disciples said to him, we've seen Jesus. And he said, I won't believe unless I touch the nail prints in his hands and the hole in his side. And so Jesus, when he shows up, he says, Thomas, come here. And he says, see my hands? Touch my hands and my side. See that it is I. And you remember Thomas said, okay, I believe now. Now, Jesus doesn't do that for all of us, does he? But the statement that follows that is even more significant in my view, because the statement that follows, Jesus said this. He said, so you have believed because you've seen, Thomas, but blessed are those who believe who haven't seen. I want to tell you about a principle about faith that's very powerful, and that is that Jesus wants us to believe before we see. He wants to believe, he wants us to express faith in him before we see the results. Now, there are people here today, and really this is kind of where you are. You're saying, God, I want to believe, but I need to see something. God, I need you to do something to convince me. And it's important to understand that Jesus doesn't operate that way. In fact, the enemy of our soul will often try to convince us that, well, you just put God to the test, make God show you something, make God reveal himself. in some way. Now, God will reveal himself through his word, but oftentimes we want to see something tangible. God, do something tangible to help me have confidence or help me believe or to convince me. Actually, do you know the Pharisees came to Jesus on a couple of occasions in the New Testament era, and they said to him, give us a sign that we may believe. In one passage in John chapter 6, they said, what sign are you going to do so that we can believe in you? Wow. In other words, and the Greek word for sign there is a word that means an attesting miracle. In other words, what miracle are you going to do that will be sufficient for us to believe that you are who you say you are? Do you remember what Jesus' response to them was? Do you remember what his response was? He said this, to him that seeks a sign, no sign will be given. He says, except for the sign of Jonah. Do you know what that sign was? It was the resurrection. He says, but to the one who's looking for a sign to believe, no sign will be given. You see, faith that depends on seeing, don't miss this, faith that depends on seeing is not faith at all. Faith that depends on seeing is not faith at all. We miss a lot of the work of Christ in our life because we have to see to believe. A.W. Tozer said, God is looking for people through whom he can do the impossible. What a pity that we plan only the things that we can see and do ourselves. So a faith that depends on what I can see is not really faith at all. The fact is, where there's no faith, there's no power. In the life of the believer, where there's no faith, there's not going to be any power. Why is that? Well, there are three reasons why that is so. First of all, because the Bible tells us we are to walk by faith and not by sight. It's so easy to try to live by our sight. I mean, our physical senses are tuned to that. It's easy to believe in what we see or to neglect what we don't see. But the fact is, we're told spiritually we are to walk by faith and not by sight. You know what that means? It means you have two perspectives. You have a physical perspective, your physical eyes, and you have a spiritual perspective, your spiritual eyes. And whichever one that you depend upon is the one that's going to give you your results. So if you depend upon a physical eyes to try to live in the spiritual kingdom, all you're going to get is the best your physical eyes can do for you. But God says there's a better way, and the better way is to see beyond the physical and to see with the spiritual so that you can live in the kingdom world. And I'm not talking about something naive and missing out on what's going on around you, but what I'm talking about is the Bible says set your sights on things above. Focus on what's going on. That what you see out here is just surface stuff. There's far more going on behind the scenes. That's why we're in a spiritual war. That's why we need a spiritual vision. That's why we have to walk by faith and not by sight. And so if you don't walk by faith, if you walk by your sight, and the very statement in Scripture that says that you and I can walk by our sight instead of by faith, tells us that God understands that you have a choice to make about how you're going to operate in this world. And so much of the lack of power in our life is because we walk by sight instead of by faith. But here's the second thing about that, and that is we don't experience the power of God often because we don't understand that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible for you to please God. It didn't say without faith, it's going to be hard to please God. It says without faith, it is impossible. You cannot do it. Why? Because do you know what faith is? It is the connector to God's will for your life. In other words, faith elevates the agenda of God for your life, and so you have to trust God with your life. That's why Jesus said this in the garden. You remember what he prayed? He prayed, not my will, but your will be done. Do you know what he was saying? He was saying, God, is there another way that this can be pulled off? And then he affirmed the fact that God had already designed the way, his will for this thing. And he said, but nevertheless, he said, that's the way I would like it to go. But he said, not my will. That's not what's happening here. It's your will. And so without faith, it's impossible to please God because faith is what keeps us connected to the will of God. George Mueller said this. He said, faith does not operate in the realm of the possible. There's no glory for God in the realm of the possible. Does that make sense? He says, so faith doesn't operate in the realm of the possible because if it's possible for you to pull it off, God doesn't get the glory. But he said, faith begins where man's power ends. And so So if you want to experience the promise and the power of faith, you've got to walk by faith. You've got to live in such a way that your faith keeps you in accord with the will of God. And then you need to understand that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, faith is the ultimate affirmation of what God says. By faith we obey, and not by our feelings. I told you a minute ago that you can grow a great faith. Some people have the capacity just to trust God in a mighty way and for a mighty thing, but most of us don't. We have to grow. Most of us are kind of like the guy that came to Jesus and said, you know, I need you to heal my child. And Jesus said, he said, if you can. And Jesus said, if you can. He said, all things are possible to him that believes. And the man said, I believe, help my unbelief. Y'all remember that story? Well, that's kind of where most of us live. But you can grow a great faith. How do you grow a great faith? Well, this last thing that I just said to you is the secret. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now watch this. Here's how you grow your faith. Because people will oftentimes say, man, my faith needs to increase. My faith needs to grow. I don't know how to do that. Here's how you do it, okay? First of all, you have to understand that God is always speaking to us. God is speaking from his word. And if you're not hearing from God, it means one of two things. You're not staying in the word of God, or you don't have a relationship with God, or you're so disconnected from your relationship with God, you can't recognize his voice anymore, because God has always been. But if you're staying in this book, God is speaking. Have you learned to listen to what God is saying? That's another sermon I won't go to today. But since God is always speaking, here's how we grow our faith. So we spend time in his word, all right? And he speaks to us. And we know he has spoken. He's given us something. Now, the next step, and by the way, come back tonight, 6 o'clock, I'm going to talk about God's formula for success. God's formula for success. I'm going to show you biblically what God's formula for success is. But so here's the deal. So faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You want the power of faith in your life, operating in your life? Here's what happens. So God gives you a word. So you're staying in his word, right? So you can hear from him. So he can speak to you. God speaks to you. You get a word from God. And then what do you do with that word? Well, you say, God, what do you want me to do? How does that affect my life? What adjustments need to be made in order for that word to function in my life, okay? So by the way, when I'm spending time with the Lord, I'm asking questions. Lord, what does that mean for me? Not what sermon can I give, but Lord, what does that mean for me? A man said to me after the first service, he said, Pastor, you just keep stepping all over my toes. And I said, well, I'm walking on mine to get to yours. Because I'm asking God, how does that apply to me? What does that mean for me? Not just what does that mean for them. And so I'm asking questions. So I know where I need to adjust. God, what are you saying to me? What do I need to know? How do I adjust my life? And so you read the word, and then the second step is important. Okay, God, I will obey it. You've told me something. There's some adjustment in my life. I will do it. I will do what you've said. So I read, all right, God speaks, I do, I adjust, I obey. Does that make sense? Do like this. If that makes sense, do like this. Okay, so I read, I obey, or I do. That is, I adjust my life. And then guess what happens? God does what he said he would do. God does what he said. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. And what happens? You go, oh, wow. See, that's what God had told me. And I did this, and God did what he said. Wow, God did what he said. We shouldn't be surprised, but oftentimes we are. He did it. But you know what happens when you recognize God just did what he said? What happens is your faith goes up. It grows your faith. So the next time you're reading God's word, or you need insight from God about something, and you get a word from God, God speaks to you from his word, you say, I'm going to obey that. You obey that, and you do that, or you make that adjustment, and then guess what God does? He does what he said he would do. And you go, oh, wow, God did what he said he would do. Man, and your faith gets a little bigger. And then so you catch my drift, so you keep doing it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And implied in that statement is when I hear it, I do it. And when I do it, God does what he said he would do. And when God does what he said he would do, guess what happened? Faith comes. So it grows me. So down the road, my faith has been enlarged through the sequence of obeying God and watching God do exactly what he said. Does that make sense to y'all? All right. So a lot of the power of God is missed in our life because we don't understand those things. We don't understand that without faith, it's impossible to please God. We don't understand, or we forget and start living by our sight instead of by faith. We don't understand that faith comes by hearing his word. But if we get those things, then we start experiencing the power of God. And here's the deal. If you want to experience the power and the promise of God, you're going to have to take God at his word. Okay? All right. So he talks about the personal expression of faith. This talks about the promised experience of our faith. And here's the last thing I want you to see this morning. I want you to see also the potential effect of faith. What's the potential effect of faith? Now look at verse 20 again, because here's where the third principle comes, and it is this: and you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and look at this, here it is, nothing will be impossible for you. Wow. Jesus points to the powerful potential of our faith. And again, it's not about the size of your faith. It is about the quality of your faith expressed. And Jesus illustrates that with the mustard seed. Have any of you ever seen a mustard seed before? I thought when I was finishing the message up this week, I thought, you know what? I should have ordered a bunch of mustard seeds and let y'all had a mustard seed. And that you could even swallow this and you wouldn't, like, it wouldn't be like the coffee thing. But have you ever seen a mustard seed? I mean, they are minuscule. They are so small. You put it, I mean, you can't hardly, if I'd have given them to you, you'd have lost it before you probably sat down. They're that small. They're so tiny. At this time, and maybe still is, was considered the smallest of all the plants out there. Yet it would grow to be one of the largest bushes that existed in that day. We could go back to Matthew 13. Jesus talked about that. But here's a picture. A mustard seed put in a person's hand is real small, but its growth potential is incredible. And that's the same with faith. He says, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, it's not about size, it is about quality. It is real and small, but it has enormous potential for growth. You see, small things are very powerful, aren't they? Have you ever thought about the atom? You know, you can't really see atoms. They're microscopic. There are some very high-powered, high-tech microscopes that can see atoms, but you can't see the particles and neutrons and protons and electrons and all of that sort of stuff. But you can see the atom. And by the way, I heard a cheesy joke. I ain't told y'all a cheesy joke in a long time. A guy said, I don't believe in atoms. He said, I don't believe in atoms because atoms make up everything. Okay, it's cheesy. All right, did y'all get it? Did y'all get it? Everything is made up of atoms. Okay, should I have just left that alone completely? Okay, I'm moving right along, but they're small, now I'm small. But here, look, watch this, it is small. You can't see it with the naked eye, but let me tell you something. Do you know if you take an atom and you split it and you divide it, it's called something, it's called nuclear fission. And you know what results from that? An explosion that cannot be contained. All from that atom, just an atom that's been split and divided, the energy that comes from. Small things are very powerful. I read an article back from about 10 years ago about a company, Lockheed Martin Corporation, who a misplaced comma, in the London Times reported that a misplaced comma in a contract for the production of airplanes, a C-130J Hercules, a misplaced comma cost Lockheed Martin $70 million because they put it in the wrong place. And the article didn't name the the people they had made the bid for and signed the contract with, but the people who signed the contract wouldn't let them out of it. And so they literally, one comma misplaced, and it cost this company $70 million. The Bible puts a big emphasis on small things. Small things really matter. Moses had a rod, but it was a mighty rod for God. David slew a mighty giant warrior with a rock and a sling. And here, there's this small seed, but the point in Jesus presenting it to us is to show us it represents big faith. Now, it's important you understand something here, because I've heard this variously misinterpreted. Jesus is not literally talking about moving the mountain. He's not really saying, mountain, move. Cast yourself into the ocean. That's not what he's really talking about. It is a metaphor. And it is a metaphor for dealing with the impossible things that come into our life. In other words, it's a metaphor by dealing with those things by faith. And nothing that Christ authorizes his followers will be impossible. That's what he's saying here. This is the potential. If it is my will, I have authorized it, nothing will be impossible. And that's important, because this statement about moving the mountain is not a statement about saying, okay, by faith I can get my way. Okay, by faith I can ask for anything and get anything I want. That is not at all what's going on here. It is a statement about what God has authorized by faith, even though it may look impossible in your life. By faith, it can become a reality. If God has authorized it, all things are possible, even though they look impossible, but it is through faith. And the Jews clearly understood what Jesus meant by removing mountains. In fact, the phrase is reflected in Zechariah 4:7 and in 1 Corinthians 13:2 as a metaphor and as a Jewish idiom or a proverb meaning to remove difficulties. Don't miss that. Here's the message of the power of faith. It is the greatest obstacles in life are to be handled by faith. Faith is the means of accomplishing God's will for your life. And so it is a faith that enables us to experience victory when there are all kinds of what appear to be impossible mountains in our life. You know, maybe you're here today and you're facing some mountains, and God has given you a word, but you don't know how to get from here to there, and there's a mountain in front of you. Maybe it's a mountain like fear. Maybe your life is, you're constantly battling fear, and it's become a mountain in your life. You know how you face it? You face it by trust in the Word of God, by faith in the Word of God, by faith in Him, by adjusting your life according to His plans, and you face it by faith. Maybe you're facing a mountain of disappointment. Something didn't turn out the way you were counting on. Something didn't come through the right way for you, and it is like a mountain, this disappointment or despair in your life, and you're trying to figure out, how do I face this? You face it by faith, by trusting God. No obstacle that you're encountering, no difficulty that you face is a surprise to God. God never says, oh, I didn't see that coming. God is never stunned by the obstacles in your life. That's why you have to trust God when the mountain is in front of you, whatever that mountain may be, disappointment, depression, despair, maybe it's sickness. You're having to deal with, God, this is a mountain. This has become a mountain to me. How do I face it? You face it by trusting Him, by putting your faith in Him. Face it with faith. That's what He's talking about right here. And then you can face what looks impossible to others. You can face it by faith in Him. My confidence is in Him. It's not in the mountain. The mountain is living by sight. My confidence for God, in God, is about living by faith. Maybe it is a mountain of guilt. I had a viewer who contacted the office this past week and said, would you ask the pastor at some point in time down the road, would he do a message or a series of messages on living with regret? How do you live with regret? And I'm going to down the road sometime. Maybe that's where you are, though. There's all kinds of regret and guilt in your life. How do you face that? It looks impossible. I can't get past this. And you think, no, you can, by turning your eyes on God, by trusting in His Word, adjusting your life accordingly. That's how, and by faith, facing the mountain. It may be loneliness. You may be here and say, I'm so lonely. How do I face loneliness? Well, first of all, you understand what has God said in His Word. And God says, I will be with you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. And you turn your and put your confidence in His Word, and you face the mountain of loneliness by faith. It may be persecution. It may be from friends or colleagues you work with, or maybe family members who belittle and harass you because you're a believer. How do you face that? You put your trust in God. You trust in Him. Your faith is in Him. Your faith is not in the mountain that's developed in your life. Whatever it may be, here's the point. Faith enables a victory against the mountains and the difficulties of life. So the potential effect of our faith leads to our victory. 1 John 5:4 says this, everyone who's been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Jesus is trying to help us get the incredible power of faith operating in our life. We tend to operate by the mountains, don't we? And Jesus says, the mountains are not the issue. It's the level and the quality of our faith that makes the difference when we see the mountain. You know, earlier I spoke in this message about the kinds of faith, and I mentioned a saving faith. Do you know, the Bible says we walk by faith. In fact, we're to walk in the same manner which we were saved. Paul says we're saved by faith. But let me tell you something this morning. If you're here and you've never been transformed, you can't walk in faith until you have experienced saving faith or expressed saving faith. You can't walk by faith unless you've expressed saving faith. And everyone in this room, everyone that's joining us by live stream, everybody here has put their trust in something for their eternity. Every one of us. The Muslim puts their faith in the Quran and Muhammad. The Buddhist has put their faith in graven images. The humanist has put their faith in themselves. Now listen to this one. The atheist has put their faith in their non-belief. The religious man puts his faith in his works. The materialist puts his faith in his wealth. But a true spiritual life of faith is only as good as its object. And that's why we put our trust in Jesus Christ alone. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. You want to express faith. You want to experience the promises of faith. You want to see the potential of your faith realized. You got to start with saving faith. I want to invite you to pray with me. Would you do that? Lord, I pray this morning that we'll get the message that you were delivering to your followers here about the power of faith. But most importantly, Father, I want to pray for those in this building this morning who've never put their trust in Jesus Christ. They've had a simple faith. They've accepted it. They've accepted the idea of Christ and the knowledge of who Christ is and what Christ did, but they've never put their personal trust. They've never transferred their soul's care to Him. They've never said, Lord, I surrender. Lord, I give you my life. Would you help those today to give their life to you, to pray a prayer and invite you into their life? And with heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to help you do that. If you're here and you've never trusted Christ with your eternal soul, I want you to do something. I want you to pray a prayer like this. Say, Lord Jesus, right now, I want to say thank you for loving me. I want to say thank you for dying on a cross for my sins. I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that I need you. And I want to go beyond just knowing. I want to go to experiencing. And so right now, I surrender my heart. I surrender my life. I surrender my soul to you. Would you be my Savior now? Not just the one I know about, but my Savior. I invite you into my life. Thank you that you've promised that if I would call upon you, that you would hear my prayer and save me. With heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking about in this place, no one at all looking about, eyes closed, heads bowed. If this morning, you just prayed a prayer, something like that, to receive Him, Would you just slip your hand up? Just slip your hand up this place. Yes, thank you. Are there others? Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Up and back down. Thank you. Anyone else? Several people. Now, Lord, you saw those hands that I saw. Maybe I missed some, Lord. I thank you for your work in their heart this morning. And Father, would you help them to follow you now as you transform them, to walk by faith, to face whatever life brings by faith in you. Lord, there are people in this place today who have entrusted their soul to you, but they've allowed the ups and downs of life to cause them to live by their sight instead of by faith. Today, would you help them to reorient their course? And if that's you this morning, I want you to pray a prayer like this. Say, Lord, thank you that you saved me a long time ago. But Father, I've been following my eyes instead of living by faith. And I want to walk by faith like I did. I want to walk by faith and experience your power operating fresh in my life. And so today, Lord, I just want to tell you that I renew my heart to your will, and I will put my eyes upon you in the mountains that I face. If that's you this morning, would you slip your hand up and say, I prayed that prayer. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. A lot of hands around here. Thank you. Up and back down. Are there others? Lord, thank you for these that have lifted their hands. Would you bless them and help them, Father, to take this journey afresh? Now, Lord, in these moments of invitation, I pray that you would speak in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with us as we have our time of invitation? And I want to just tell you what that means if you're not sure. It's an invitation for you to not to respond to the preacher, but to respond to the Word of God. You say, why do we ask people to make public expressions of their decision? It's because Jesus did that. You know, Jesus said, if you'll not confess me before men, I'll not confess you before my Father in heaven. So if you're here this morning and there, you prayed that prayer, several people around this building prayed the prayer to invite Christ to be their Savior. Would you mind coming forward in just a moment and sharing? We're not going to make you say anything. You're not going to have to do anything but saying, you know, I did that. I'm so glad I did. I'm glad that you did. And this congregation will also rejoice and pray with you. Maybe you're here this morning saying, you know what I need? I'm saved. I just need a church home. And I would like to join Ridgecrest. We'd love to have you. We're not a perfect church, but we are a healthy one. And we'd love to have you as a part of this family. So you might want to slip out the balcony or ground, come and say, Pastor, want to join Ridgecrest? We'd love to have you. You might just want to come and pray. God's spoken to your heart about something. You're praying about someone. You're praying about something. And you just want to pray. There really is power in the bent knee. You know, I pray a lot when I drive on the circle. But you know, I also have an altar. I actually have a small altar. I have a workroom off of my office. And I have a small altar that I had built so I can go in there, shut the door in my closet. Really is a closet. And I can get on my knees and talk to the Lord. There's something about a bent knee. There's something that makes it a little different as we talk to it. It's a humbling of ourselves. And maybe you want to just come and bend a knee. Don't be ashamed to make any of these decisions. This is God's house. It's God's moment. So as we sing, you slip out. Our staff will be here to receive you. You come on right now. Well, we've been talking about the power of faith today, and our lives are to be lived by faith. And that means an expressive kind of faith, not the noun faith, but the verb faith. And the first way we express faith, the Bible teaches us, is to put it in Jesus Christ. He is the object of our faith. We don't believe in blind faith. We believe that faith has the object. The object is Jesus Christ. And that kind of faith, when we put our faith in Him for our eternity, is called saving faith. If you've never put your trust in Him, I want to urge you to do that right now, right where you are, to call on Him. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for my sins. I know I'm a sinner and need you. I want you to transform my life. I believe in you with my head, but now I want to trust you with my heart. And so I ask you to become my Savior, my Lord, and my Master. Now I want to tell you, if you'll offer a prayer to Him, something like that, He will hear that prayer and transform your life. The Bible says that as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God. And if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. All things have become new. That means He wants to begin this transforming process to give you a new life with Him and through Him. I hope you called on Him if you do not know Him today. And then we'd love to help you with that decision. You'll see contact information on the screen in front of you. Let us know about your decision today, and we'd love to send you some growth material. It's free. There are no strings attached. It'll just help you get moving in the right direction. So let us know about your decision to trust Christ. And then I want to invite all who are watching us, if you're local and you don't have a church home, I want to invite you to come and visit with us here at Ridgecrest. We have two Sunday morning services. We have an 8:15 blended service that has choir, orchestra, praise, and hymns. And then at 10:50, we have a very relaxed contemporary service. It's band-driven, and the message is the same in both services, but you can come very casual, very relaxed, and you find the one that fits for you. We'd love to have you in either one of them, but if you don't have a church home, you definitely need one, and we'd love to be that church home, church family for you. We're not a perfect church, but we're a healthy church, and we invite you to come and check it out. And then, of course, check us out on the web, www.rbcdothan.org, and check out what's going on here. A lot of ministry going on here. You'll see information on the website about things that are happening. And then also information about sermon series, a podcast, how to view us through live stream, all sorts of things like that are there. And then remember to like us on all the social media outlets, Twitter and Facebook, Instagram. We're there, and we keep those updated so you can kind of follow us and know what's going on as well. Well, I hope that's helpful information to you, and I hope the broadcast has been helpful and challenging to you. I sure have enjoyed sharing God's Word with you today, and I look forward to doing it again next week at this same time on this same channel. And until then, may the Lord bless you.